Okay, so I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Just a quick question. So you mentioned about smartphones. So I'm just really curious about how the Sangha, you know, utilizes smartphones in their life, and how the Vinaya rules maybe apply to them.
Okay. How does the Sangha use smartphones? How does the Vinaya apply to that? Well, do you have another hour? every monastery is going to have a little bit different way of handling that. Some monasteries are quite strict, and some are more loose. They all have their own policy around this. Sometimes the policy is quite, strict. Sometimes the abbot is quite loose. He just kind of lets everyone regulate that themselves. But if they get into trouble, then he'll crack down on them and say, okay, now I'm going to take away the internet. Or for a while, anyway. You know, as long as people's use stays restrained enough, then it's tolerated. Now, when I was a younger monk, I wasn't in the first 7 years, until I had 5 years seniority. The only device I was permitted to own was an MP3 player, just like I have in my hand, this little voice recorder. So it's got no Wi-Fi, no web browser, no Facebook, no SIM card. It's just a Wi-Fi player and recorder. I could have that to listen to Dhamma talks, MP3 Dhamma talks. And then once the Kindle was invented, we could have a Kindle to read Buddhist ebooks like the Pali Canon. But we couldn't have a laptop, and we couldn't have a smartphone either. Especially no SIM card. And back then, there was all these forest monasteries were always outside the range of the cellular towers. Even if you had a SIM card, you would get no signal, no bars. I only got my first laptop once I had 5 vasas. So that's 7 years in to living in monasteries. And that's not even a smartphone or a tablet. That's just a laptop. And I had to promise, okay, yes, I'll use this for Dhamma study, reading the suttas and actually, a laptop is great for like copying and pasting paragraphs out of the suttas, like really good ones that you find. And then later on, you can search through those notes. Maybe a year or two later, you're like, oh, where was that simile about the ox cart again? Oh, and then you can search through your notes for ox cart. Oh, there it was. Sometimes you just remember keywords, and then it's actually very nice to search. All these monasteries in those early times, they would have one or two computers in their office that you could use for a short time every day to get on the internet, just for like email, etc. No Facebook was allowed. You couldn't even have a Facebook account. So that was the first 5 years as a monk. And then so I just used that laptop for the next few years until I came to Malaysia and needed a smartphone, needed a SIM card, needed WhatsApp. And the internet here, you either got it through your SIM card or you didn't get it at all. There was no regular kind of wired internet. All the Western monasteries would get wired internet to the office. Like, it's not cellular internet, but rather, you know, cable internet or internet from the phone company, DSL internet, they call it. But, it, you know, it's wired in. It's, yeah. Anyway, so there's no nice, clean answer to the question, but I will say this. When I lived in Sri Lanka for 15 months, I was in a very remote forest monastery called Na Uyana. And that place had the tightest internet, the most restrictive, the most unavailable internet. If you wanted to type an email, here's how that happened. I would walk for 40 minutes through a jungle, one way. And there were all kinds of snakes and scorpions and poisonous spiders and ants. And I saw cobras. I saw everything. I saw everything in that forest. And then you get to this offline computer. They got a USB stick hanging on the wall. So then you type your email in a text editor, and you have to know the email address you'd like to send it to. You need to have this, you have to know this before you even come there, you know, make a list of all your email addresses. So you say 2:: and then the email address. This is just a text file. It's not even gmail.com or whatever, okay? It's offline. Then you type your message, you know, who it's to and who it's from. Then you hang that USB stick back on the wall. And the rest of the monks get to read what you typed in there for a good week or so. Then the office monk, he takes that USB stick and by hand, he copies and pastes that all into his email program. And he sends the emails from the account of the monastery. Like, the from address is that monastery address. Okay, but, you know, your name's at the bottom of the message. And then when the reply comes back, he prints out the reply on paper. He prints it on, like, really small, yeah, small font. And the piece of paper has been cut into four, so it's like a little cute, you know, little piece of paper. And then he folds up the paper into almost like a little stick. He folds it, you know, he folds it over several times and it's like a little stick, and then he staples it shut with a staple and puts your name on it with a pen. And then he puts these little sticks of paper in this cup by the door when you go to get your tea in the afternoon or whatever. So when you come in for your tea, you look in the cup. Is there anything for me today? You look at the sticks and you hope your name is on one of the sticks. Maybe every week or two, one's in there for you. Oh, great. And then you open it. Yeah, so it took about 2 weeks to send a message. Like, once you typed in your message, the message sat there for a week in the USB stick, and then it took the guy about a week to print the reply and put it, make that little stick, you know, with the staple. Yeah, 2 weeks for an email, back and forth. But you know what? This might sound like torture, but my practice was the best there. That was a magical time. I loved it. I stayed off the internet for like 15 months. And this is in like 2013, 2014. Okay, like everybody's got smartphones by this point, pretty much, when I was there. I still didn't have a smartphone yet in Sri Lanka. And yeah, my practice really improved. I lived in this secluded kuti. Like I say, you got to walk for 40 minutes to even get to the kuti. I had a nice walking path. And all day long, I just do sitting and walking meditation, read the suttas. There was an alms round to get food once a day, and I had a little bit of chores, and that was it. That was it. It was the best. My practice improved, like not one or two notches. It improved like about 7 or 8 notches. It was a big improvement. And that's when I stayed off the internet for 15 months. Okay? So I highly recommend it, if you can manage it. That's how I'd answer your question. It's like, if you're going to ordain, go all the way if you can. Stay off the internet. Okay, any more questions?